Hi, it's Pete Price, and welcome to my podcast. As you know, my podcast goes everywhere. We have people from all walks of life. So I want you to come on the story with me because I'm really excited about this. This is ridiculous. I'm sitting in a bar the other week having lunch with some friends. We went to the bar. There was a very attractive bartender there who is a cocktail barman who was really interested. And let's face it, they are, because it's part of the job, because they've got to get a tip at the end. And that's how it works, having been a barman all those years ago. Right. So there is the background. So I'm sitting there with my friends and we're talking to this young man. And his name is Vlad. Great name, Vlad. I then said to Vlad, where'd you come from? And when he said where he comes from, I said, I have got to interview you because I grew up with this unbelievable place in my life. And where is it? You tell me.
Hi. So, Transylvania is the northern western region of Romania.
So it's Transylvania. Now, as you know, all of you, straight away, and of course it's pronounced Transylvania. As you know, it is Dracula. I said to Vlad, do you fancy doing an interview? He said, why not? So I want to know who he is, what he's doing here, but then I want to know what it was like growing up when he was first aware of Dracula and what the country was about. And then, of course, Prince Charles has homes over there. So, Vlad, first of all, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you so much for having me, Pete. It's great. What a great experience, like we were saying earlier. It's two strangers in a bar, and then you just get to meet so many people. As a bartender, especially, you get to meet so many interesting people and stuff. So it's great being here, mate.
Well, you have to talk in your job, because before you were born, and before I was in show business, I was in catering, but that's another story. And I did everything, and I did bartendering, a lot. And it's now a very, very lucrative profession. So, first of all, why are you in England?
So I came to England about 7 years ago to study here. I went down south in Southampton. I studied film production. So I finished my studies there, lived there for about 5 years, and then moved up here about almost 2 years ago, up in Liverpool.
So why film production?
Film production, well, I always wanted to do something artsy. Since I got my first phone, I was maybe, I don't even know, 7 years old maybe. And I remember I had this little camera. It was a Nokia something, but it was quite thick and it had a 1.3 megapixel camera on it and it could do video. And so I used to play around with it all day, just create characters and just film myself around the house doing little skits, I suppose. If TikTok was a thing back then, I'd probably be very famous by now with all the silly, goofy things I used to do. But I just always interested in filmmaking, putting a story out there, and just, yeah, acting, singing. After I finished my high school, I then had to decide, okay, what do I want to do for university? I knew I wanted to, you know, just get out there. I've been in the same hometown, it's called Cluj, where I'm from, and I've been there for so long and I knew so many people, but I was almost like thirsty for just meeting new people and just see what's out there. And I was looking at film universities in Romania. There are a couple. The best one back then, it was back in Bucharest, which is the capital city of Romania. It's quite, you know, it's out of town. And I was like, okay, do I want to go to Bucharest? If I actually leave my hometown, may as well just go somewhere else, like somewhere else. And I was always passionate about English, and I was always passionate about the English culture and just England in general. And so I was like, why not just apply?
Were your family supportive of you when you were going to college over filming?
100%. I'm an only child, so it was a
spoiled.
Bit, yeah, well, that's what people say, but not really, or at least I don't think so. My parents, they were always very supportive, and when they said I want to go abroad and to another country, they were like, weren't extremely happy about my decision, but obviously they were so happy to support me no matter what. They were like, if this is what you want, this is what's going to make you happy, 100% go for it. I was never a rich kid, so my parents were never rich, and I never went on every single school trip. So just to put things into perspective, I was never really brought up with a lot of money. So coming over here to England, prices are maybe 5 times bigger over here than back at home. So the start was a bit slow. I had to get a job straight away once I got here. I started working as a chef, making pizzas. So that was fun. So I had to make my own money. Obviously, they did help me with a little bit, 2 months rent sort of thing. It's probably all the family savings they had. Maybe not. But, you know, it was a big sum of money back when I first got here.
So you're working, but your dream is making films.
Yes, yes, yes. So I started my studies here in film production. My dream was always to be a film director or even just be involved with films as an actor or just be getting involved in a creative space. It turned out to be a slower process than I thought it was going to be. I thought, you know, finishing uni, this was me, 19 years old, dreaming.
Which we all do when we're 19.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was thinking, oh, can't wait to finish uni, just get straight into it, be a film director of Warner Brothers and make the next Harry Potter film. But no, it turns out it's not that easy and it's not that quick of a process. So I had to, you know, do hospitality ever since. And yeah.
But every actor, everybody in my industry, because I've been in it for 50 years, have always had to get a job until it happens. And as long as you're grounded and you know that. Now, you see, I'm sitting here and we've never met before. We met once in this bar. I'm doing this interview, but already I've got a great idea for you. I've just done an article and a piece about being a tourist in my own city.
Right.
Now, wouldn't it be great to make a film? I grew up in Transylvania and didn't realize how big it was in the world because of Dracula. So let me take you to my Transylvania.
That would, yeah. See, that's the thing. When you're young and you're trying to be creative and make your own films, you think, okay, I need to be the next Tarantino, I need to be the next Scorsese, whatever, trying to make up stories that never actually happened in your life. And that's what I realized while at uni, probably very late towards the end of university. I realized if you want a good story, it's got to come from within. You can't just try to pretend to be someone else. People see through that anyway, like if you're trying to be someone you're not. I realized only recently that true stories and good stories that stick with people always come from the heart.
What made you come to Liverpool?
So after 5 years in Southampton, I felt like I've done pretty much everything there is to do over there. It's not the biggest city. It's a you know, decent sized city. It's quite student-y. So wherever you go is just loads of students. And after finishing university, I just thought, doesn't really feel like my place anymore. So I always wanted to, you know, just check out other places. And my idea was London at first, but London's very expensive and London's very big. So it does come with a price. You know, there's a lot of price. It does come with, you know, there's more things to do, but it's more expensive. And so I had a friend, Peter, a very good friend of mine, in Southampton. He used to be a regular at the bar I used to work for. And then he's from Liverpool and he always was the happiest man I've ever seen. Every time, you know, he walks through the door, brings a smile to everyone's faces. It's just a nice, genuinely nice guy. And he was always talking about Liverpool being the world's capital of the city of the, you know, the capital of the world, and it's where it's at, and Liverpool's a great city, and live music. And I didn't need much more convincing. I was like, you know what, let me just try Liverpool. Let's just go up here.
When you got the, did you come by train?
I went on a long holiday to Canada, and then when I came back, I flew into
Liverpool,
yeah. Right.
What was your first impression of Liverpool?
It still is. I tell this to everyone that wants to move up here. It's honestly the liveliest city I've ever seen. London's great, but this is London, but friendlier for sure. People are much friendlier. People actually give a damn about you. They actually want to talk to you. They actually care. And it's just more intimate, I would say, but in a very, very cool way. Is you just, first of all, live music. I mean, if you like live music, Liverpool is by far the place to be at. Everywhere you go, Matthew Street, or just anywhere in the city center, there's always somebody strumming their guitar, singing their head off. And just, yeah, live music is the one, I think, my favorite part about Liverpool, I think. Just the, not even the nightlife, because, like, you know, I'm not that much into clubbing anymore, but just going out to a venue, have a beer, listen to some live music, see some true talent.
It's nice that you say people give a damn. They do. You couldn't sit here on your own without somebody talking to you. There's no way you could come to Liverpool and be left alone. I'll tell you something which you won't know at all. Southampton and Liverpool have a terrible rivalry. Did you know that there was a
rivalry? When it comes to football? Or?
No, ships. So what happened was, Southampton's one of the biggest ports in England.
Yeah.
Liverpool used to be one of the biggest ports in England. The beautiful thing about Liverpool is when the big ships come in, the cruise ships, they walk straight into the city. In Southampton, it's not the same sort of experience. I won't say what I think about it, but we have fought to get our ships back, and Southampton have tried to stop us. We've been to the Court of Human Rights. We're now getting the ships back, because every ship that comes into Liverpool is worth £1 million to us in tourism, and we're getting them back. And would you rather sail into Liverpool or sail into Southampton?
Personally, now that I've lived here, and I'm an advocate for Southampton, obviously it's my first love coming here, but honestly, Liverpool is better, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you're totally right. Totally right. Now, the excitement I got when you said Transylvania. Mm. Now, I don't watch horror movies. I am terrified. Interview with the Vampires was one of my favorite movies of that type, but I don't like getting scared. But Transylvania, is the images are stunningly beautiful, but also scary. What is it like living, and when were you first aware of Dracula?
So Dracula's always been around. Like, I can't remember. This was
so
like
you grew up with it?
Yeah.
Were you aware of it?
Yes. So I was aware of the myth. So we obviously they teach you at school about Vlad the Impaler, who was actually, you know, the original Dracula.
Who you're named after?
Maybe. Vlad. Yeah. Not. Yeah.
Vlad the Impaler. Yeah. So I'm interviewing Vlad the Impaler.
That's right. No. Yeah. They teach you in school about the history and about, you know, him, how cruel of a ruler he was back, I don't know, 500 years ago, and how he used to impale the Ottomans and whoever tried to attack and take over, and, you know, they would impale people outside of his castles as a warning sign, do not come near me. And I mean, I wouldn't come near that kind of thing whenever you see some. Well, obviously that was a long time ago, but it's still taught in schools of how cruel he was and stuff like that. So that's why the myth of Dracula comes from, you know, all the blood and all the. There's one funny story, actually. Well, not that funny for the person that it happened to, but basically back in the day, he was such a cruel and radical ruler that if someone stole even a chicken from a place, whenever they caught them, they used to cut their hands off. So it happened a couple of times, and then after that, no one stole anything anymore. So he ruled by fear, but there was, you know, there was discipline. So it was super extreme. And all the stories and stuff like that about Dracula, him being a vampire, it's obviously romanticized.
But it's romanticized to a huge industry that's made billions over the years.
That's correct. Yeah.
Is there one castle in Transylvania? Is there one castle that is the castle?
Yeah, so there is one considered to be Dracula's castle. It's called the Bran Castle, and it's in Transylvania, and it's a beautiful, beautiful castle. Amongst Transylvania's got so many nice castles, all medieval style. Just beautiful. If you ever want to travel Transylvania, put castles up there on your list, because they're honestly one of a kind. You get the English castles that are, you know, obviously older and made of stone, but the Transylvanian castles, they're different in a way that they're just...
They seem to have turrets, like, and long, tall, and built on the most unbelievable rock.
Yeah. They're really unbelievable. They're really, really cool. You can do a whole castle crawl if you wanted to. So growing up in Transylvania, it wasn't that advertised as, oh, come to Transylvania, the land of Dracula. I think only recently they started, for example, there's this music festival called Untold Festival. And its whole marketing, you know, strategy is come to the world's fantasy capital, mystical capital, with all sorts of fairy tale, you know, characters and stuff like that. So they are bringing that back in a very, very cool way. It's not to advertise. I'm not related to them whatsoever. I've been to many, many editions.
Advertise all you want.
Yeah.
Don't worry about a thing.
I mean, if that brings people over to Transylvania, sure. But no, yeah, they have been going for about 10 years now, I believe, 10 editions. And every year they bring about 300,000 people around there, at least. To this music festival, it's got everything. It's got about 10 stages. It's right in the middle of Cluj, where I'm from, and it's one of the things that make me really proud to be from there, I think, because it's, you know, there's so many tourists coming in every summer for that particular festival. Brings in you know, a lot of money and also a lot of nice new people. And it's just nice to finally, you know, hear good things about Romania and Transylvania. And when people talk about this festival, which is, I think it's number five in the world right now. It's around there with Tomorrowland, if anyone's listening and is into those festivals.
Now, tell me, do they make many, many films there? Have you, growing up, have you been aware of many film units filming horror films?
Horror films? Not that much. It's mostly
medieval dramas. Sword fencing.
Right. Yes. Loads of historical films. Yeah. Loads of historical films. This was I was a bit young, and they also seem a bit boring to me. They all came up, you know, I don't know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s sort of era, and then they were very long and they're historical films. They're not made to, they're not the Hollywood blockbusters that, you know, when you watch when you're young, you're like, wow, I want to watch explosions. You're just a kid. You don't really want to watch a 3-hour film about, you know, some historical figure back in Romania. So I was never really into Romanian filmmaking. There are a few directors that are still relevant nowadays, but they haven't really gone out of Romania that much. So they're not like that internationally acclaimed. The film industry is good. I've been to multiple festivals, film festivals in Romania. They're great. But personally, I don't really watch Romanian films that much. Yeah.
Now tell me, what is Romania like? If I was to arrive off a plane, you pick me up, is it a lot of countryside? Are there a lot of cities? Are there towns? Is it medieval? Is it backward? I don't mean backwards as in as a place, but backwards as in, oh, I'm going back in time.
Yeah, so if you want to go, Transylvania is great for hiking. It's great. So Romania in general, it's got everything geographically wise. It's got the Carpathian Mountains, beautiful, beautiful mountains. We got the Black Sea. There's a delta, the Danube Delta, that's over there. We've got hundreds and hundreds of species of animals. We've got 60% of the European population of brown bears is there. It's great. When it comes to nature, there's so much of it. Hiking and just beautiful, beautiful sights.
And brown bears.
And brown bears.
Violent brown bears.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Have you ever had one attack the house?
No. I'm from a city that's not so much in the middle
city.
Of the mountains.
Right.
I'm from a city, yeah. But even though there's this touristy town called Brasov, and it's right in the middle of the Carpathian Mountains, and they still get bears on the streets just looking into dumpsters and stuff like that. So
interesting. Now, give us a flavor of Romania now with the war situation. Let's get a little bit serious now. What are your politics like? Not yours personally, but Romania. What is the atmosphere and the feel? Is there a fear? Are you friends with Russia or not? Tell us.
Overall, obviously, I haven't lived there for like 7 years now, but...
But you're conscious of what's going on.
Of course, yeah, and I still keep in touch with my family, my friends, and they're all joking around like, oh, we're going to go to war and stuff like that, not to scare anyone, obviously, but it's obviously just jokes. I don't believe there's going to be a war. I don't think it's going to extend past what's happening right now. Hopefully not, but I really don't think so. We're not on Russia's side, let's say. Romania's never really been like that, especially after, you know, the communism era, which ended in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s. We're still a country that struggles to get back from communism. Communism's often associated with the USSR, and it's not, people don't really tend to like that sort of style of ruling, and you know, it's been a struggle. And my generation hasn't felt it. I was born in 96, so I never really felt communism. I don't really, all I can know is just what my parents told me about it and stuff. But overall, yeah, Romania, I would say it's not on Russia's side, I don't think.
Interesting. Yeah. Is it a good place for young people, or do young people leave to see the world?
If you want to study in Cluj, in Transylvania, it's one of the best places to be. It's cheap. It's great fun. Where I'm from, it's full of students. There's two massive universities. There's tens of thousands of students coming every year, which is also really cool because growing up, this is an interesting fact, there were no other races apart from white people.
Right. That's interesting.
I saw the first black man when I was maybe 14. I saw him on the street and I was like, wow, hey, look, it's a black man. That's crazy. It's great that now every time I go back home, there's just so many types of people out there, and it's just so nice to feel that finally Romania is part of this international, because coming here to England and London, it's like everywhere you look, wow, he's from Japan, he's from just, you know, just all the countries in the world, just the mix of people, which is great.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm from a totally different generation to you because of my age, but I had one black man in school. Only one, and it was like, wow.
Right.
And yeah. One fat guy in school, because there was no obesity, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. So it was weird, and then you grow up in the world, and you realize, and Liverpool now is cosmopolitan, yeah, beyond anything. How have you been treated as somebody who's come from Romania? And be honest, have people been welcoming, or have you had any negativity?
I've never actually experienced any type of negativity when it comes to where I'm from. I think before coming over here, I had a bit of a fear back maybe 10, 15 years ago. Let's say, not obviously not to generalize, but generally the Roma population, if you're familiar with it, they had a pretty bad name across Europe. I'm not sure nowadays, I haven't heard anything about that. But coming from Romania, I always thought, you know, people might think I'm a gypsy or something, and I'm up to no good. And it's obviously stereotypes.
Well, like Liverpool has stereotypes.
Yeah,
Now like it used to, but years ago you were a thief if you lived in Liverpool. So these places have stereotypes. So Romania had a stereotype, but you found no hostility to you.
Not at all. Not at all. Obviously, there's different ethnicities. There's the Roma population and the Romanians. And because of the name, I think Poland even has the same name for both of them. So it was always a confusion. And coming from Romania, I thought I was going to be a bit like, oh, people are going to think, you know, all the stereotypes they say about the Roma population and stuff like that. And so I had that at the back of my mind, but never encountered anything negative. And I think, you know, I was telling people this, I was like, it doesn't matter. One of my friends wants to move to England, and he said, oh, do you think they're going to say something? Just like I said, you know, they're going to think, up to no good and stuff like that. And I said, you know what, man, it's just, it takes 1 minute to have a conversation with anyone from England to tell you, to then they know if, you know, you're a nice person or not. People are not judgmental whatsoever over here. I can tell everyone, you're more than welcome. England's super welcoming, and there's nothing to be scared of. That's what I would say to my old self if I could.
So you're living over here, you've got a job to make ends meet, but you still have this dream of being in the film industry. What are you doing about that?
So right now I am actually trying to open my own photography studio, photography/videography. I've been to multiple viewings this past 2 weeks, and I think I'm finally about to get one. But all the equipment in there, and just, do like, you know, headshot photography and shoot some videos, some films, whatever, really. Yeah, I'm trying to grow that as a full-time thing. I think that would be great.
Do you think you'll ever go back to live?
Probably not.
No.
No.
But do you not think that because of what we talked about, and I'm sure, I hope, people have been fascinated by it, because Transylvania's got such a phenomenal name around the world, do you not think that you could maybe commute and help through your film industry your own country?
That's an interesting point. I was so focused on just myself, and, you know, if anyone listening...
Well, you're only young.
Yeah,
you've got a long way to go.
That's what I was going to say. There might be some young people watching and listening, and, you know, when you're in your mid-20s, I'm 27 now, so when you're, like, early 20s, mid-20s, personally, I never considered, okay, what can I give back? I think at the moment, it was a period where I'm just, you know, focused on a bit on myself, not selfishly, but just trying to,
It was selfishly.
We're all selfish.
When we're 27 and 20s and 21, we are all selfish. So let's not beat around the bush.
Right.
In other words, you're getting yourself together, but then the future.
It's definitely an idea, and it's definitely on the list and on my bucket list. I think every time I speak to somebody, I'm always positive about Transylvania and want to make people experience what I've experienced and what I saw, because I know how beautiful of a country it is, Romania. I think one day for sure, definitely. Yeah.
Have you been doing much traveling around England?
Yeah, so I used to live down south, and I saw the whole south coast and been to London, and then it was mainly the South Coast when I was living down there, and then up here I went maybe not that far. Is Manchester probably the first?
Oh, so you haven't seen Scotland or the Lake District. So you've got all that to come.
I've got all that to look forward to. Yeah,
I believe you want to take citizenship.
Yes. So actually, I'm in the middle of my application now. I've just taken passport photos today, actually, just before coming here. And yeah, that's happening. Just need to do some biometrics, and that should be done in a few months, I think. Yeah.
Why England? Because you could have gone to America, Canada. You've been to Canada on holiday. So why England?
England is probably, in my opinion, one of the most powerful countries in the world. I mean, when it comes economically, I always love the idea of England. And to be a British citizen, that just sounds so cool. Also, it's just, it opens up new horizons. Like you said before, I'm not actually, you know, if you're from Romania, or I think a bunch of other countries in the EU, they don't really allow you to go to America to visit there because they think you might stay there forever. So they need a load of, like, loads of information about you. Do you have a job? Do you have a family here? Do you have a whatever? So it's a whole process which takes months and months and months just to go over for a week and just see the Statue of Liberty or whatever. You know, it's so when it comes to visas and stuff like that, traveling, that's another pro. And I feel like I belong here. I feel like, you know, I made so many friends. When I first came to England, one of my plans were to just integrate myself and just really get a feel for the English life, which I think I did. I kind of like try to stay away from Romanians. Not in a bad way, but just I really wanted to, you know, just actually be part of it and just get a feel for it and what it's like to be here.
What is life like in Liverpool compared to Romania? What's the differences?
Let's see. I think people here,
if any.
Yeah, probably the people, I would say, but I don't know. I think the Eastern European culture, people are not very animated in a way. They're very welcoming and they're super nice once you get to know them. But you might get, you know, over here people seem to be more animated, more happier, more always eager to share an advice with you. Always, whereas back home, I think, I don't know how to explain it. I think maybe not as visually friendly people, whereas here people seem to be nicer from the get-go, and they actually are. Whereas back home, I think it takes time for someone to trust you first and then open up to you, sort of thing.
Apart from the weather, any downside? And be honest, living here. And apart from missing your mum and dad and your friends and your mates and the weather, which he's complained about, by the way, three times. So cool.
Yeah, no, the weather does suck a little bit here. Well, I mean, it's England, so. Apart from the weather, I'd have to really think really hard about that. I think everything is... I can't think of anything bad, yeah.
Looking back over your course, filmmaking, do you think it was a good course? Has it given you a grounding?
That's interesting. If anyone's listening and wants to pursue a career in filmmaking and wants to go to university for film production, or maybe almost every artsy bachelor's degree, I recommend do it for the life that it gives you, like getting to know other people and maybe get out to your parents' house or whatever, just to learn how to be independent. It's great. But what I've done 4 years at uni, you could probably, if you really dedicate it and you... Yeah, if you really want to pursue it, you could just learn it off YouTube in 6 months. 4 years, you could do everything in 6 months. Obviously, university gives you, you know, they put you in touch with people, and you get access to an amazing loads of equipment, like top-notch Hollywood standard equipments and stuff like that. You do get to, you know, team up with other people. So that's very good. But all the knowledge that I learned in university, it's easily accessible everywhere nowadays, I think. It's just, yeah. So it's just for the lifestyle, really, if you want to pursue something like that. But just remember, you don't need university to be a good film director.
I've got to ask Vlad, what is your full name?
It's Vlad Hanakiuk.
And is it just Vlad, not Vladimir?
No, it's just Vlad.
So it's Vlad?
Just Vlad, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think Vladimir is Russian. Vladislav, I think Bulgarian and some other Eastern countries. But I think, Vlad is just Romanian. So it's just Vlad.
Do you think you're going to have a great career in filming?
I think so, yeah. I believe in manifesting.
Really?
Yeah, I believe in that. I believe that if you have a positive mindset, anything, you can do anything. And that's another thing about England and about living here, is that you believe it way more when you're over here. People seem to be super supportive of anything, super open, and just, yeah, super friendly. And I think, yeah.
And our city now is one of the biggest destinations in filmmaking. So you've actually come at the right time. We've got the film office going to be open. Well, we've got a film office, but the film studios are going to be open, the city council ones. We've got some of the most beautiful, iconic buildings like Romania have got, with these amazing castles. So you've actually come at a good time.
I think so. I think so, too. I've heard so many cool things. And when I first got to Liverpool, I went to the museum. That's what you do when you're a tourist. First day I went to a museum and it was full of, this has been filmed here, this has been made here. Just so much art everywhere. I was like, yes, I feel like I belong here. It's just always something happening. First few days, I saw so many streets closed off and huge lighting equipments and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, they're filming something there, right there. And then the next day, again, you see it somewhere else. And it's like, wow, this city just breathes and inspires art. It's great.
Vlad, you're a fascinating young man. Tell me, to finish off, once again, where are you from?
I'm from Transylvania. Is that how you want me to say it?
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. Why not subscribe? You know it's free. So join us and tell your friends. It's great going on walks and doing whatever you want to do and then putting Pete Price on. We've got a back catalogue of over 100 interviews. Join us. Subscribe, it's free.